The stranger staggered here, catching himself on the banister, then weakly with his cane in hand straightened himself again. He stopped at the step and looked out at the trees, giving Pooh a nod. I knew him once. Very well, he mumbled. So off they walked, hand in paw, the larger leaning stranger and the small swaggering bear, each of them caught in their own set of sensations. Pooh thought again of that last leaf falling from the tree, that silly red-faced leaf now lying on a pile of brown, that very, very last leaf somehow signaling the end of another series of seasons, the beginning of the cold winter. Pooh knew now that this was some sort of occasion, some sort of change. He knew also that this called for some kind of song. But he couldn't think of anything to sing. It had been a very long time since he had sung even the old ones, pleasant as they were. Vaguely, he remembered singing them over and over and over. Why don't you sing a walking song, Pooh? The stranger asked, casting a knowing glance down at the silly bear. Pooh blushed, holding his paw over an open mouth. I remember you used to sing them all the time.
The old ones, Pooh said doubtfully.
New ones, too, as I remember you were something of a poet.
That was before Christopher Robin went away.
Yes, the stranger said with some apparent thought. I suppose that could be a bit of a problem. But you did have fun singing them, didn't you?
Fun? Oh, bother, yes.
Do you think you could do a new one now?
A new one?
Pooh said rather shyly.
I don't know. I'm sure to be rusty.
Won't you please try? The stranger asked, his eyes pleading like a little boy's. I'm sure you could do it if you put your mind to it.
Well, Pooh said, clearing his throat so that he could sing, I suppose I could try.
And try he did.
Oh, I like this way of walking, don't you too? Skipping and a hopping, me and you. Off to see a sweet old pair, Piglet and Eeyore there, on the corner and the house, named by Pooh.
That's me, Pooh exclaimed at this last, then blushed rather shyly at his own exuberance.
See, the stranger laughed, his eyes alive with some old memory. I told you you could do it.
Try some more.
More? Well,
Pooh didn't even know where the song had come from, whether it was old or new or a combination of both. He seemed to remember having sung something like it long before, but different enough now to give him some delight. He went on.
Oh, I like your way of speaking, yes I do. Steeping and a peeping, just for Pooh. Stay for a taste of something. There's always time for a little something, just for Pooh.
And if anything, this verse embarrassed Pooh even more than the first, for he had mentioned his name not once, but twice, and that made him most shy. But again the stranger beamed, seeming to walk less heavily on his cane.
Yes, yes, the stranger said in delight. It's just the way I remember you to do it. Just that way. Could you sing just one more for me, Pooh?
The old man's eyes were very round now and watery, causing a page in Pooh that the silly bear did not understand at all. Again, it was as if he had seen those eyes before, looking at him in just such a way.
But where?
Certainly there had never before been an old man like this stranger here.
I suppose I could try,
Pooh said, but the more he thought, the less he could come up with. If he had had a brain, then maybe something would have popped up.
Oh, bother. Oh, bother, Pooh said to himself.
Surely, Pooh, the stranger said, one more verse won't hurt you. If you came up with two, a third should be right behind, don't you think so?
I did invent two, didn't I? Pooh said rather proudly, beaming inside and out.
Pooh readied himself with another little cough.
Oh, I like this way of walking, yes I do. Walking and a-talking, just me and you. Down the path to see Eeyore. Down the path where we've been before. Down to the corner and the house, named by Pooh. It isn't a grand song, Pooh said after some time of silence. On the contrary, it's a wonderful song, the stranger laughed. On the what? Pooh asked, scratching behind his ear. You're beginning to sound like Owl now.
Owl?
Owl, my lord, it has been a long time. A long, long time since I've even thought of Owl. How is the dear old bird? Does he still have the same head for details that he once had?
He certainly does, Pooh announced, not remembering Owl ever having changed his head.
Down they walked. Around they walked, the stranger swinging his cane this way and that, saying, my, my, how small these things seem now.
No, he mumbled after a bit of time, I'm wrong. These are just what they should be.
At other times he stopped and looked into this gully or that ridge and sighed with terrible sadness, his round eyes wet again with some private vision that Pooh did not understand. Pooh simply stood by the man, paw in the wrinkled hand, waiting. Pooh was good at waiting. Waiting for leaves to fall. For that little something at 11. For winter to go and spring to come. Summer to grow and fade. There was a great pleasure in watching each of these seasons pass, coming around each time to the time when the leaves would fall again. Leaves which needed Pooh to watch them as they fell. It seemed such a shame that leaves should take all the bother to change their color, to fall all that distance with no one there to see. Pooh watched and waited for them, just as he did for the stranger now. To him, it was all part of the very same process. Finally, they came to the house at Pooh Corner. Again, the stranger stopped and swayed on his cane, brow raised, a crooked smile across his lips. He shook his head. And then, there are things that are always the same, he mumbled.
Piglet and I built that house.
In the snow, Pooh stated matter-of-factly, looking down at the accumulation of sticks with the tail swaying out at one end like a furry-headed snake.
As I remember it, Pooh, the stranger said with something of a doleful smile, you relocated the house, not built it.
Oh, bother, Pooh said embarrassed. I forgot.
Quite all right, my dear silly bear.
Over the years, I've forgotten many things, some of them supposedly important.
But I've never forgotten you, Pooh. Not once.
Eeyore, Pooh cried, his face blushing a little. Eeyore, it's us. The tail, that looked like a hairy-headed snake, flapped a few times.
Eeyore isn't home, a sad voice said from inside the sticks, muffled but clearly Eeyore's.
Eeyore, why are you inside on a wonderful day like today? Pooh asked, pushing his nose past the tail to peep in at the occupant.
Wonderful, the gloomy voice continued. Don't you know that winter is coming? The cold, the snow, and all that terrible stuff? How can anyone dare call that wonderful?
It isn't winter yet, the stranger said, smiling in a warm way.
No,
Eeyore admitted, swishing the tail once more.
But it soon will be. The cold will come and I'll freeze out here, just like I do every winter. Do you know what it's like to grow icicles on your tail?
I don't have a tail, the stranger laughed.
See, you can't know. Well, let me tell you, it isn't any fun.
But Eeyore, Pooh said, spring comes after winter and then summer. Pooh, of course, was thinking about the return of the bees in spring, and where there were bees, there was bound to be honey. The thought of this made him wish for a little something just to celebrate the coming spring.
Then fall and winter, too, Eeyore complained. You just can't win.
Nothing changes, the stranger said, shaking his head and laughing. He looked around, leaning back on his cane as if it were a tail. He smiled at the crooked tree halfway up the hill, and the groove along the side of its roots where in late spring the water gushed down to fill the gully below. It was then that Pooh asked Eeyore about Piglet.
Piglet, Eeyore muttered. I haven't seen him. but if he's gone near rabbit or owl, he's sure to be enlisted.
Sure to be what? Pooh asked, pulling his nose out from Eeyore's house as the small gray donkey backed out into the open air.
Enlisted? The stranger asked. Into what?
There was a certain frightening tone in the stranger's voice that disturbed Pooh, a tone which vibrated the air inside Pooh's ears.
Enlisted? Enlisted, Eeyore repeated, one ear bent like a crooked branch. How am I to know into what? I don't ask questions. No one gives me any answers anyway. Say, who are you?
Me? The stranger mumbled with a preoccupied shrug. I'm a stranger.
Oh my, Eeyore moaned. Then things have gotten that bad.
Bad? Bad as what? The stranger demanded, his voice stern, his brow crinkled with a deep cut.
Bad, that's all.
Ever since Christopher Robin went away, things haven't been right around here. Not that they were good when he was here. Just a little better.
The stranger tried to smile, but the frown had burrowed into his brow.
And what's this about enlistment?
The stranger's voice was kinder, but strained.
Oh, that. It's just rabbit and owl again. They're at something that they called war.
War? War? The stranger repeated to himself.
Do you mean war?
The old man's voice was loud now, echoing through the gully like thunder.
What's war? Pooh asked, scratching his ear again, wondering if it had anything to do with honey.
Nothing that belongs here, the stranger said, clearly angry.
Never here. Anywhere else. Let the world have its madness, but not here. We've got to do something about this right now.
Oh, yes, Eeyore said with a sudden jerk of his head. While you're at it, you could do something about winter, too.
Come along, Pooh, the stranger said. We're going to see Rabbit.
But what about Piglet? Pooh asked,
not bothering to mention the missing jar of honey. He was sort of wishing, too, that none of this had happened, and that he was back on his hill still waiting for his leaf to fall. It seemed much simpler, his wishing for 11 o'clock and his little smackerel of something, than to go around changing something called whirr. Yet after looking at the stranger for a moment, it came to him that maybe Rabbit would know something of the whereabouts of Piglet and Pooh's jar of honey. And if not that, then maybe, just maybe, the good and clever Rabbit might have a bit of 11 o'clock good news of his own.
Piglet can wait right now, the stranger said.
First, we must put an end to all this nonsense about war.
So off they went again, hand in paw, the forest around them, then a field, and a stream after that, and everywhere there were signs of emptiness and order. At the stream, there were rows of tiny footprints like those of marching soldiers, going row by row into the water. Here the stranger stopped and leaned upon his cane. He shook his head.
Nonsense, he said. Absolute nonsense.
Should I sing another walking song? Pooh asked.
The stranger sighed. I don't know if it would be appropriate right now, the stranger said, his eyes and voice most distant.
A what?
The stranger looked down at Pooh, a soft smile replacing the doubt and pain and anger.
Oh, nothing, Pooh. That was just one of those unimportant big words that I've picked up here and there in my travels. Useless here, so forget them.
What about a song?
But before the stranger could answer, a shout came up from stream and out. Out bounced the orange and black shape of Tigger.
Halt! Who goes there? Tiger growled. Or was that, who goes there, halt? I forget.
Tigger! Pooh cried.
No. I'm Tigger. You can't be Tigger if I'm Tigger. At least, I was Tigger the last time I looked.
He lifted a paw and examined it closely, then bent his head to peer under his belly at the orange and black serpent at the other end of him, which was his tail.
Yep, I'm still Tigger. But who are you?
I'm Pooh, said Pooh. We're looking for Piglet. Have you seen him anywhere, possibly carrying a large round jar marked honey?
Piglet?
Piglet?
Tiger not see Piglet.
Tigger see you and this.
Tigger stopped and looked at the stranger up and down.
Who are you?
I'm a stranger, the stranger said. You can call me Stranger. A stranger? A stranger? The small cat was now bouncing around in circles. I knew I would find one. I knew it. Just a matter of time, I told myself, till I ran across one. Yes, sirree. Found one what? The stranger asked. A stranger, of course, Tigger said. Rabbit said that I should go out into the forest and arrest any stranger I find there. And here you are. Arrest? Pooh asked. What does that mean? Whatever it is, Tigger said. Rabbit said I should do it to a stranger. I'm afraid I don't understand, Pooh said, scratching his head. Don't worry, Pooh, the stranger said with a laugh. It's just one of those silly words again. Oh, Pooh said, rather disappointed. He had kind of hoped that it had something to do with a little something. Well, Tigger, the stranger said, shouldn't you be bringing us to Rabbit? Is that what arrest means? Tigger asked. Pretty much, the stranger sighed. Tigger doesn't understand. Why didn't Rabbit say, Tigger, go bring stranger here? Well, Tigger, the stranger said, bending closer to the small creature, sometimes people can't say just what they mean. They have to invent all sorts of big words and phony reasons to hide the way they feel. Oh, bother, Pooh said. That seems awfully silly. Yes, Pooh, it is. But they do it just the same, making bigger and bigger words, making simple things seem terribly complex. And sometimes after they've spent a very, very long time doing this, they forget what they meant in the first place. Which is? Pooh asked. I forgot. Oh, the stranger said with another sigh. I guess Rabbit wanting to see us. So, off we go, Tigger. Yes, yes, Tigger said, leaping into the air before them, bouncing, bouncing, bouncing without going anywhere at all. Rabbit will be proud of Tigger catching a stranger. Just go, Tigger, the stranger growled. We'll see what Rabbit says when we get there. So off they went, Tigger bouncing, the stranger and Pooh hobbling behind. They crossed the stream and came to Owl's old house. The stranger paused, tapping his cane on the roots of the old fallen tree. He seemed very sad, as if something had changed here after all, as if the sight of the old broken boards meant something more than the simple change of living place for Owl. After a long time, the stranger sighed. I don't like any of this, he mumbled. Like what? Pooh asked, being closer to the stranger than Tigger, who might have asked the same thing, had he not been bouncing on the trunk of a tree somewhat farther on. Any of this, this idea of war, the stranger said loudly, waving his cane at the forest. It isn't like I remembered the place. War doesn't belong here any more than those silly, useless words I mentioned. Out there, maybe. And again he waved his cane, this time in a vague manner somewhat east, but not here. Out where? Tigger asked, bouncing back now in front of the man. The stranger's eyes focused again and examined the two figures before him. A softness came into his face. That, Tigger, isn't at all important. What is important is our putting an end to this madness before this place becomes just like that other world of mine. Come along. Then, surprising both Pooh and Tigger, the stranger marched on past them, through the 100-acre wood and in the direction of where Rabbit lived. They crossed another patch of grass, then another stream, the emptiness growing more evident as they moved. What are all the living things that used to be here? The stranger said. The small relations and such. Pooh looked but didn't know, and they went on without any real answer. Before long, however, they could hear the sound of Rabbit's voice screeching through the trees. Hep, one, two, three, four, hep, one, two, three, four, will you please get back into line? You're supposed to be soldiers. Small, small, get back into line. That's Rabbit's camp right there, Tigger said, bouncing alongside the stranger. Camp? Pooh asked, thinking of Christopher Robin and the camps that he used to have on his various trips around the world. Yes, yes, Tigger said. There's the Rabbit's camp right now, and Owl's over there. Right now, I belong to Rabbit's camp. Why? The stranger asked. Because, Tigger beamed, Rabbit made me a scout, and Tiggers just love to be scouts. I'm sure, the stranger said bitterly. Just let me talk to that scoundrel Rabbit for a second, and we'll see about such things as camps, scouts, and war. A moment later, they were in Rabbit's camp, a clearing full of madness and small relations, each small creature with a stick over its shoulder, trying desperately to form a line. Only there were some facing this way, some the other, some facing a totally different direction altogether. All right, Rabbit said, tapping a large foot to one side of the parade. We'll try this all again. Hep, 1, 2, 3, 4. With these words, the small relations began to march in every conceivable direction at once. Those facing right began to bump with those facing left, causing both to fall, while those facing diagonally stumbled over those fallen or marched completely away into the woods, never to be seen again. Sticks fell, relations fell, till the whole marching army was nothing more than a pile of sticks and relations squirming on the ground. No, 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 Rabbit screamed, thumping his foot even harder. That's not the way this thing goes at all. Not at all. You're all supposed to be in a line facing the same way. Don't you understand? You're supposed to march in a line. Who says? The stranger asked, swaying on his cane. There was a mixed expression of anger and laughter on the old man's face, his eyes almost fond of Rabbit even as they fumed. Who is this? Rabbit demanded of Tigger, the rabbit's one ear rising sharply. This is the stranger, Tigger said, bouncing in place, just missing the small relations that wandered about under his feet. They scattered and huddled around the thumping foot of Rabbit, eyeing Tigger, the stranger, and Pooh with very wide eyes. I got him in the forest like you said I should. Up and down bounced Tigger, Rabbit's head bounding with each bounce until finally Rabbit shook his head. Stop it, Tigger. Just stop that stupid bouncing for one whole second, will you? And tell me all this again. Tigger slowed. He found us in the forest, the stranger said, stepping closer to Rabbit, who cringed back, ear folding down again like a wilting flower. In the forest? Rabbit stuttered. Yes, I can see that. You wouldn't happen to be a heffalump, would you? A heffalump? Pooh asked, looking at the stranger. The stranger laughed. What's all this about a heffalump? Rabbit, somewhat braver now, braced himself and stepped forward. We heard the owl enlisted a heffalump. Did he now? And where on earth would Owl get a heffalump? It's Piglet! A small, small voice peeped, and looking down, Pooh and the stranger saw that it was one of Rabbit's small relations, called Small. He said he wanted to find a way to end this war. Piglet, Pooh cried. You know where Piglet is? No, growled Rabbit. He's from the other camp. It's enough keeping track of my own army, let alone Owl's. I suppose if you must find him, you'll find him with Owl. Camps? Camps, the stranger said in disgust. Why do there have to be camps at all? Because of the war, Rabbit replied, his snoot wiggling. But why war? Why little armies? Go ask Owl. He's the one that started this. And I'm sure he'll tell me that you started it, too. That's not so. It was Owl, Rabbit protested. Most definitely. Oh, bother, said Pooh between them. I don't understand this at all. The stranger smiled. It's really simple, Pooh. Those that start wars are always most careful in telling you that it was the other side that began it. Always the other side, never them. Every war you hear the same rhetoric. This person started it and that person started it. No one wants to take the blame for their own greed. But why would they say that if war were such a good thing to do? Pooh asked. Oh, Pooh, the stranger said, bright eyes glowing. It does make you wonder sometimes, doesn't it? Maybe we should go talk to Owl. And Piglet, Pooh put in with some concern, we must talk to Piglet, too. Yes, the stranger said with a laugh, we'll go see Piglet, too. Owl stood before his house with a pointer and a blackboard, talking to his army, which just happened to be made up of Roo and Kanga. It had once been Piglet's house a long, long time before, but so long ago that Pooh could hardly think of it as anyone's but Owl's. These, Owl said, pointing with the pointer to some X's on the blackboard, are the accumulation of the enemy. Those are what? Roo squeaked, jumping up and down beside Kanga. Those are what? The enemy, Owl repeated with great patience. But they look like X's. They are X's, Owl hooted rapidly, losing that patience too. They only represent the enemy.